The Natural Hat Trick, hosted by Luke Lipinski and Craig Morgan.
Welcome into episode 182 of the Natural Hat Trick podcast alongside Jamie Eisner,
the Natty Hattie,
and Craig Morgan.
That second spot's always awkward now.
Basically obsolete. You'd think after 182 episodes we would have come up with a second line for somebody to say.
Bad contract.
But you'd be wrong. What are you guys doing?
Your first mistake was having expectations for us.
No, that
was Our listeners have realized to not have any expectations, then they're always satisfied.
Well, or at least not thoroughly disappointed. That's true. How's everybody doing today?
I'm swell. How many hours of sleep did you get?
Four-ish. A little under four.
A little bit more than that.
Jamie got 15.
A little bit more than
Jamie
that.
Jamie put his face mask and his cucumbers on his eyes. And
yeah, I saw it was yesterday. An 8 p.m. start time for the Coyotes game. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to that.
Mister over his face, white noise.
Yeah, app. Ocean sounds in the background.
Somebody was
rose petals.
Frond. We should do our weekly Coyotes update. This is where they've come from last week.
I know,
week
it's called the Natty Hattie podcast.
Well, this is going to be a quicker one. They are now 4 points out of a playoff spot instead of six, and they've lost another key player for long term. So there we
same
go.
As it ever was.
Yeah. Just basically moving up 2 points and losing a key player every week.
Rinse, repeat.
Craig, anything to say about that?
No.
All right. Let's get to the World Cup of Hockey. It's gone.
Oh.
Good.
I don't have anything to say about that either. Some people were lamenting this. There was much hand-wringing on Twitter yesterday. I was not one of those people.
There's one thing I'll miss, and it was Team North America. That's it. There's literally
Long
nothing else.
Team North America.
Literally nothing else is worthwhile. The World Cup doesn't matter.
Does this mean the Olympics are back in play?
Who knows?
The Olympics are going to be back in play because they're going to talk. It's going to be a CBA point.
Yeah.
Owners are going to see how much money they can get in exchange for letting players play in the Olympics. We know how this is going to work.
So the World Cup of Hockey really was just put there one time to, I guess, substitute for the Olympics because they didn't want to go to those Olympics. Now they're going to go back to the next
one. Well, they're going to open discussions at some point in the future about bringing the World Cup of Hockey back, Luke. I hope they have a Team Asia and a Team Africa at that point,
too. Just Team Everyone.
Yeah.
Team Antarctica.
All just continental. Let's go continental. Just like it's kind of like the All-Star game with divisions. I know I root for a division, so I would probably root for Team Africa, too.
It's about as valuable as the – actually, it's more valuable than the All-Star game with their divisions. You know, I think we should really start this show by jumping in headfirst to the Ottawa Senators.
We already started the show, Luke.
But to really get into the meat of the show.
Okay.
They want to re-sign Matt Duchene.
LOL.
That's nice.
They also beat Colorado last night, which is probably their biggest win of the year because it moves them a little bit towards out of last place. That was probably actually Colorado's most important
game of the year. Yeah, that's a tough loss for them for a lot of reasons.
But at least in this game, Nathan MacKinnon and Jared Bednar did not scream at each other on the bench. So there's some progress for the Avalanche.
We'll talk about them in a little bit because that's a team I still, with that much talent at the top of their roster, should not be struggling to stay in the playoff picture.
Certainly not in this conference, which is actually the meat of our show today.
Yes. But if you want to talk about Matt Duchene, they're going to sign him to way too much money. I just know it already. I'm going to hate the contract they sign him to.
Are they going to, then we'll play the bad contracts drop. Are they going to sign him just because they have to after what they gave up for him? I mean, it might very well be Jack Hughes, among other players. So is it just, is Ottawa following this new trend where they have to save face?
I mean, it's not an illogical argument. Like, he's been good this year.
Yeah,
he's 45 points in 38 games, but I think they're going to sign him as if he is going to continue to be a point per game player for the rest of his career, or at least the rest of his contract, and I don't see it.
Not a guy who's in a contract year?
Yeah, I just don't see it.
Mm.
By the way, is it just me or did Erik Karlsson look terrible last night?
Well, he didn't have his best game.
No, he did not.
The Coyotes can thank him for 3 goals.
He may have had actually the worst game of his career because he's been red hot ever since the first month
I saw another game at Gila River Arena where he directly led to 3 Coyotes goals. It's weird. He doesn't play well in that building, apparently.
So when the Coyotes play the Sharks in the Western Conference Finals somehow, you have to like the Coyotes' chances.
In what
in
year?
The first round.
Yes. Ottawa with that win pulls ahead of LA for not last in the NHL and tied with your Chicago Blackhawks. It's up
somebody
here.
Took
so, oh. If somebody took that, I probably would stop doing the show. Also, We may have found a way to make Natty Hattie cowbells. We should just put that out there for people. And we are trying to come up with a shirt or five or
all
six.
All kinds of swag.
We're not trying that hard, but
for
we're
all
trying.
Y'all.
I wrote down some of the terms.
Did you?
Came, and also, we left donut balls off. Donut balls has to be a shirt.
I just don't feel like I want to wear a donut balls shirt around, and I'm not sure others would either.
What do you guys call spaghetti and meatballs then? Spaghetti and meatballs?
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah.
But they're the same thing. It's a ball of meat. That's a ball of donut. It's the exact
it's
same
different.
Logic. It's not different. It's the same.
Do you make like meat donuts?
No.
Yeah. How do you have your hamburgers
made? Do you take the meatball out of the middle of a patty?
I'm assuming somebody does.
No,
I
don't.
Come from an Italian family. Somebody has.
They form it.
Yes.
They form those.
I think they cut these.
I think that everything's processed. I don't know what we're talking about. Let's get into the Western Conference.
No, let's dive more into the donut hole making process.
Well, yeah, because now that I've proven
you
both
about
wrong.
Montreal creeping up on Toronto and Toronto freaking out. That was in my show notes. Perhaps you've read them.
Yes, not only did I read them, I walked down to your bougie press box seat last night and
press box seat.
I wanted to talk about Montreal and Toronto because I've been listening to a lot of Canadian radio over the last couple weeks.
Follow up, why?
It's just I like it when they freak out about Toronto. It's fun to me.
Okay, that's fair.
That's the best possible answer anybody could give. Now, just for reference, Toronto, second in the Atlantic, 58 points. They're absolutely fine. However, they're only 1 point ahead of Boston and Montreal. Montreal's suddenly really kind of good. I did not see this coming this year.
I didn't see it coming at all. And I also didn't see them as being the one versus Buffalo that was going to stick in the playoff race. I know Buffalo's still technically in the playoff race. They're only 2 points back, but Buffalo doesn't look good at all, and Montreal kind of, they went through their lull and are now bouncing back a little bit.
We kind of touched on this last week. It would be crazy if Buffalo got off to the start they got off to and then missed the playoffs, but
yes,
we really have no reason to trust them. Like,
nope.
They've never done anything right.
Nope.
So,
true. And at this point, if this happens again, you just got to start examining that organization and asking what's wrong with all the... Well, they've had some high picks. They've had some high elite picks. And those guys are elite players. So I don't know what's up there.
I don't know what you could do, though, because you really haven't had Jason Botterill around that long. So it just seems like a team that is flawed in that they're not good at adding good depth players, basically. And you can't change GMs because he just changed to this guy. And he's already made a pretty good move getting Jeff Skinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just... look at Eichel's having a good year. Skinner's having a good year. Reinhardt's having a good year. Ristolainen and Dahlin have been good. But then that's it. It's like that point. And teams that are just, they have too many pieces at the top of their lineup to not be in playoff contention right now, given what the wild card pictures look like in both conferences.
Well, and to get off to the start they got off to, I mean, nobody would fault them for falling behind Toronto and even Boston and Tampa, certainly. But, now you're behind the Islanders, you're behind Montreal. It's like, okay. You don't have to. We're not asking you to win the cup, but when you get off that start, you should at least be able to make the playoffs.
The Islanders are messing up the Eastern Conference, aren't they?
They really are, because
Buffalo will be like, "Yeah, we're fine," because the rest of the conference is garbage.
Yeah, there's basically nine
split,
teams.
But yeah, there's nine teams.
Nine. No, maybe Carolina's still hanging around.
Maybe
there. Still hanging around.
Yeah, but that's about it.
But they're not going to make it. We know this. We've seen the song and dance from Carolina before.
Yes,
they're
going
to get hot at some point in the next month or two, and then they're going to finish 4 points out of a playoff spot.
Yes.
We know.
I watched Columbus over the weekend. How are they in first place?
I don't know.
Metro's not great.
It really is.
What are we going to do when the Islanders win the Metro?
Laugh. It's the worst division in hockey, right? I mean, it's not even really close, which is crazy because you have the last three Stanley Cup champions in there, and they're both still threats to go deep this year. But I think you have a mix of Pittsburgh and Washington kind of doing the whole, it's a marathon, not a sprint, so we can pace ourselves. And then nobody else is really any good. Columbus is fine. But
yeah, they're fine.
Fine.
They're fine.
It's fine.
They'll lose to the Caps or the Penguins in round one or something, and we'll move on with our
lives.
If
they win the division, they could draw a wild card team, I suppose.
Pittsburgh, Washington in round one?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, right now, I think Columbus would get Pittsburgh in round one.
They would get Montreal.
Or no, Tampa would get Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Oof, that's a fun first round.
That's bad news for you.
it is.
What do you make of the Penguins wanting to deal Derek Brassard, by the way?
He has not been good since he came to Pittsburgh. I think he's a much better player than he's shown. I don't know if he just doesn't fit. I don't know if it's confusing because he looks so much like Chris Letang that they just they can't handle it. I don't know. Not on the ice, though, because Chris Letang is probably...
Awesome.
He's got to be a Norris finalist by now, right?
Yeah. Did you see that goal the other night I sent you?
You did.
That's so...
Yeah. It was absurd.
We're going to make it happen. We're going to get Chris Letang and Norris here.
Jamie Eisner and I are just going to keep voting.
Again, right? He's got one, doesn't he?
I don't think he's ever been a finalist.
I'm going to look this up.
He has not won a Norris, no.
No, he has not.
I don't think he's even been a finalist. And that's kind of garbage because there were some years, 4 or 5 years back, where he was pretty big for that team when they were great in the regular season and not so good.
He's not going to be a finalist this year either.
Why not?
Because there are other guys that will be finalists. That's how it works.
Your logic is...
Well, I mean, to be fair, that is...
impenetrable.
Brent Burns, Mark Giordano, Morgan Riley, John Carlson, Eric Carlson. Who are you bumping?
I'd be fine bumping all of them except Giordano, really.
I'm not bumping Carlson. Carlson with a C. I don't know why I'm like miming here on the show. Washington
Letang
Carlson.
Hasn't been as good as John Carlson?
No, I think John Carlson gets my North right now.
I think I'd probably go Giordano.
Me too.
And then Giordano second.
If Letang keeps playing like this,
it's Letang versus the San Jose guys.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll take votes away from each other. Or maybe they'll just split the award, because Brent Burns looked pretty good last night. And Eric Carlson's been great all year, except when he plays at Gila River Arena, apparently.
Brent Burns is a point-per-game guy from defense. It's pretty darn good. That's impressive. We know people love stats.
Especially when they're that...
52 points.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I want to go back to Toronto for a second.
Okay.
Why not?
I'm going there this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Can we just wait?
We can. I liked Rick Tocchet after the game last night. I'm just focused on Pittsburgh, and I know we play some good team on Sunday. Yeah, Toronto's pretty good, and they're going to be pretty upset just in general. They have they've won 8 of 17 since they signed William Nylander, which I'm not pinning on him.
No, it's clearly his fault.
It is all his fault, I think, if you listen.
He ruined the team chemistry by signing.
Well, yeah. That's what they're talking about up there.
Of course it is.
Is Toronto still the second best Canadian team behind Winnipeg?
That's tough. Calgary's playing awfully well.
Probably. I can't. If I actually watched Toronto play Calgary in a 7-game series, I still can't give Calgary the win there.
Like, let's say the NHL just said, it's been a quarter of a century. We need some Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup, so it'll just be a Canadian team playoff.
To ensure it.
Yeah. It's probably Winnipeg and Toronto still in the finals. Calgary probably. Is fun to watch.
Calgary is they fun are. To watch.
Unless you're watching for the other team. Then they're not so fun to watch.
Yeah.
That is how sports work.
They've got a really good blue line. And they're actually getting goaltending.
Yes.
With Mike Smith not playing as much.
Yeah, plays against the Coyotes.
Rich has been
I don't
excellent.
Know if that's a coincidence, but.
No, it's not. it's not. Rich has been excellent. Like I said, if he continues this the rest of the year, he's going to get some Vezina consideration.
So with Toronto, Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner are still both RFAs. Why?
I don't know.
Because they're not worried about offer sheets. Done.
They
already been
for that.
Already been said. They're done. They're
good. They'll have 6 guys under contract and then just bring a bunch of AHL guys. That's their plan.
There's no way they allow Auston Matthews to get to a point where he can be offer sheeted.
We are approaching the All-Star break. And you're right. NHL players are loyal. We know all that stuff. Maybe the agent works something out. But we are approaching the All-Star break. If you are simply looking at the financial future of your client at this point as an agent, why? Why would you sign now? You're this close to becoming a restricted free agent. Some team comes with a crazy offer sheet. Say, okay, Toronto, match it.
Yeah.
Match it.
I would think 30 other teams would do it.
That is serving your client best, is it not?
He could make bank if
he
waited at this point.
Oh, my God, he could make bank.
Because he will legitimately be the guy who finally gets offer sheeted because
he'll have 31 suitors.
Yeah. I mean, not Toronto, so just 30 because they have a plan, so don't worry about them. Maybe Seattle will get into the mix. I mean, if you're...
Futures deal?
If you're ranking just all the players in the NHL from 1 to whatever, 600, he's top 10 for sure, probably top 5. And in terms of just guys you want to build your team around, he's probably like 2.
Yeah, he's 2.
This should be done.
Yes, this should be done. It should have been done already.
Legit,
it's crazy that it's not done.
Legit question.
Okay.
Who would it's hurtful. Who would Toronto fans be more disappointed if they don't sign? Auston Matthews or Mitch Marner? Because you know the answer, and I know the answer, and it's stupid.
I think when they look back, though, they obviously in the moment it would be Marner.
Yes.
Yeah. He is Toronto. But when they look back in 5 years and Austin Matthews has won 3 Stanley Cups with another team, they might kind of have some regret there. I just can't believe they finally get a number one pick. They finally get that player at that position. He's every bit as good as advertised, if not better.
I want it to happen now
because
it'll be just a spectacular story.
I don't even care where he goes. I just want him to lose him. And I don't have anything against the Maple Leafs.
That would be the crowning achievement of the Maple Leafs' run of futility, right?
Yeah.
Inability to win the cup if Austin Matthews got away.
Yeah, because that's not, oh, we're having bad luck. That's we completely botched a gift.
We
basically
had this drop into our lap and we botched it. Yeah, it's not going to happen, though.
It's not going to happen. But if they don't get him or Marner signed soon, they're going to be in a position where they're going to have to drastically overpay.
Yes.
And then they're not going to be able to build the rest of the roster, and they're going to end up looking like,
yep,
not like Buffalo, but like a really good version of Buffalo, basically, where you've got 4 or 5 great players and then nothing else.
He also needs to be like a secret agent that convinces Nathan Horton he's got to play again. Just to really screw with them for next year.
What's your
job? Put that $5.3 million right back on the books.
I'm a secret agent that convinces Nathan Horton he has to play again. That's my job.
Because nothing says, you know, cap conscious like spending $12 million between Patrick Marleau and Nathan Horton in 2020.
Patrick Marleau hasn't scored in like 6 years. Doesn't
that
like
contract's got to be a problem. Yeah. That extra year is going to be a problem because he's got a no movement and it's like $6.5 million.
Hey, but he's a locker room guy.
Good in the room. You can hire a locker room attendant. Yeah.
Good in the room.
Kadri hasn't scored in forever either. The thing that they're freaking out about up there is that they won't like shuffle the lines, and then the next day they shuffle the lines too much. This is just fun. You were right, Craig. It's fun when Toronto's good because they don't know how to handle it yet. And so it's like you gave somebody like too much power, and I don't know. I'm enjoying it. It's going to be less fun once they win the cup because they won't be as crazy.
Well, it's just when Toronto's good, they're always freaking out about what's happening with
True.
The organization,
yes.
But when they're bad, it's kind of like, you know, this fight going on down in the sewer. But when when they're good, it's on the street level and everybody's seeing it, so it's good theater.
Are sewer fights a real thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
We don't talk about
Let's
it.
Make it.
First rule
Let's
of sewer
make it
fights.
Happen.
The first rule of
first
sewer
rule.
Fights.
I like this.
Anything else from the East? The Penguins are going to be here in town. We'll see them tomorrow.
Rick Nash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's... Where did he come out on Rick Nash's career? Not quite a Hall of Famer, but a pretty amazing career.
He had a very good career, except in the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
There's that.
I think people, sort of newer hockey fans, lose track of the fact that he was pretty outstanding with Columbus for a while. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just that goal he scored against the Coyotes. Although they showed that like 9 times before the opening puck drop the other night against the Rangers.
Keith Yem did not like playing against Rick Nash. That I can't confirm. He had like 3 career highlights. The 3 of his like major career highlights came with Keith Yandel on the ice in front of him.
He was a tremendous player when he got going, though.
Yes.
Those years in Columbus.
1,060 games, 437 goals, 805 points. However, in the playoffs, 89 games, 46 points, 18 goals.
41-goal season, though, in 2003-2004. And he actually did have a 42-goal season with the Rangers in 14-15.
Mm-hmm.
But he just was never the same guy with the Rangers.
No. He was not.
I'll always remember him as a Boston Bruin for those 11 games he played and scored 3 goals.
And just getting your R. Nashes confused?
Yeah. There should be a rule against that.
Yeah.
If you have to distinguish the players with more than one letter from their first name, and then in that case 3 letters, it's just not worth it. That's why the Bruins haven't won another cup since 2011?
Correct.
Can we get into the Western Conference now?
No.
Well, let's see. What else is going on?
Well, if we don't have to talk about Snoop Dogg, which for some reason you put in the show notes.
I think that's
this
relevant.
This was not my edition.
Yeah, you said you only wanted to talk about
Dr. Dre.
That's right.
Okay. Jamie, you saw Snoop Dogg.
The genius behind so many artists.
He is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do play-by-play.
He didn't do play-by-play for the Kings the other night.
He doesn't need to.
The Kings need Snoop Dogg doing play-by-play, at least
the Kings need anything
place.
To distract them from their actual hockey team.
Yeah. I thought it was fitting. He used to wear a Penguins jersey in his videos back in the mid-90s.
Before we jump into the Western Conference, Jamie had one last thing that he'd like to discuss.
I guess we're done.
Oh, I did have a thing.
Okay.
I forgot what it was for a second.
Jamie did some research for the show today.
I did.
Is this about spaghetti and meat holes?
It's not.
Okay.
I don't know how I'm going to get the shirt back on track now.
We've got 2 new t-shirts out of this show. Sewer fights
and spaghetti and meat holes.
I'll buy a sewer fight shirt right now. I will buy 10 of them off you.
So, interesting fact. We were looking at the point total because some guy named Nikita Kucherov has 75 points. so far.
Yeah.
We're not to the All-Star break yet. And I was wondering, let's see what he's on pace for. He's on pace for 131 points.
That's absurd.
So I went to look back and I said, when was the last time somebody scored? Well, first off, I said, when's the last time somebody scored more than 110 points in a season? You have to go back to the 09-10 season when Henrik Sedin did it. When's the last time? And now we have six players this year that are on pace for 110 or more points.
Wow.
It's okay. Six.
Goalie equipment.
Yeah.
But going back to that 130, the last time someone scored 130 in the season, 1995, Fedorov. 1996. It was not Sergei Fedorov.
Nah. Wrong.
I'll give you one more guess. It's somebody you know very well.
That wasn't, okay, wait, 95, 96? Yes. That wouldn't have been my real guess. Lemieux?
There were two players.
Was it Lemieux?
Lemieux scored the most. He had 161, and Jaromir Jagr had over 130 that year, too.
And they didn't win the cup that year. Thank you for your...
So essentially, it's been a long time since we've seen scoring like this.
Click.
Is yeah. essentially what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Six players on pace. Patrick Kane, Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, Mikko Rantanen, Johnny Gaudreau, and Nikita Kucherov on pace for more than 110 points this
cray-cray.
Year.
Cray-cray.
As the cool Craig season. Said, it's cray-cray.
We should start calling you Craig. That can be your nickname instead of Cowboy. Cowbell Craig.
I didn't know I was called Cowboy.
That's a different podcast. Sorry, I'm trying to...
You mean my stage name?
Oh, yeah. No, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about you guys create, like, I think it's called, like, Podultry. It's like adultering for podcasts.
Podultry, yeah.
Yeah. With the rundown. I saw you had Craig on.
That wasn't a podcast. That was a live radio program.
That's close enough.
Well, we could have you on to talk about... What do you want to talk about?
No, I just want to know, like, why are you cheating on the Natty Hattie? I think our listeners want to know.
However, I promoted the Natty Hattie on the air.
Okay, it's a little bit better.
It is.
A little bit better.
It was one big advertisement.
I'm sorry, I cheat on you guys all the time. Stations all over North America.
Yeah, we know what kind of co-host you are. That 2011 draft,
keep waiting for you to change, Craig.
Well, I don't marry them all, Jamie.
That's my gimmick.
I don't break laws in multiple states.
That's your move. What year? Okay, yeah. The 2011 draft. Have you guys looked at this recently?
No.
Okay. Well, you're
missing
out.
At it now?
Johnny okay. Gaudreau was the 104th pick, so everybody missed on him like three times.
Which was funny because considering a guy that had such a...
He was outstanding in college.
Yes, such an outstanding college career. They called him Johnny Hockey.
They did.
They feel like that's at least a top three round pick.
Nikita Kucherov was the 58th pick that year.
Yeah.
And Mark Scheifele was... He was at least a high pick. He was the 7th pick. But that's like three of the best players in hockey.
Yeah.
Were all from that draft. And none of them were in the top six picks.
Which tells you can find those players in the later on. Speaking of the local team,
they
haven't had any lottery luck, and that certainly plays into it, but they need to find those types of players.
Also, by the way, John Gibson in round two, Brandon Saad in round two.
Ricard Raquel.
Don't talk about Brandon Saad 30th. Anymore. Why are we talking about Brandon Saad?
Trocheck round three.
Saad still playing in the NHL?
Technically. And the Coyotes drafted Connor Murphy.
But that was at least a low first round pick, or like... What was it?
Mid-20.
But again, you still need to find those players once in a while with those lower picks. You can't always rely on being in the top two.
Well, if you're the Coyotes, you can't ever rely on being in the top two.
Yes, it's never happened.
But just to put that draft in perspective, here's the top six picks, okay? Counting up from 6 to 1.
Why would you stop at 6 and not 7?
Because 7's Mark Scheifele.
7's very good.
Mika Zibanejad.
Or 8 is good, too.
8 had a hat trick last night, Sean Couturier. 5 was Ryan Strome. 4 was Adam Larson, who continues, I guess, to be valued over much better players. Jonathan Huberdeau, 3. Gabriel Landeskog, 2. And Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has been fine this year.
He's been good for like 3 years now. Stop.
Okay. None of them are Mark Scheifele.
But he's,
no, they're not Mark Scheifele.
None of them are Kucherov, who might be better than Scheifele, and none of them are Johnny Gaudreau, who might be better than both of them. I'd still take Scheifele out of those three.
Who would you rather have, the Stromes or the Reinhardts?
Stromes. Because they have at least... I saw Ryan Strome score a goal the other day. And Dylan Strome has a few this year.
That's such a low bar.
Dylan Strome's really cooled off, by the way.
I saw him score a goal the other day.
Not that he was actually hot, but he's cooled off.
He has cooled off. Anaheim is dealing everybody. Mm-hmm. They've lost 12 in a row.
Are they giving up? Does it feel like they're giving up?
No, I think they're panicking.
Yeah.
Seriously, I think they look around the Western Conference and they're like, we should be a playoff team this year. And they're just going to keep trading guys until they start winning games. And right now they've traded how many guys? Like 5 in the last week, and they have not won any games. 12 in a row. 12 losses in a row.
It's not great.
And yet, still in the wild card.
And 2 points back over a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
After everybody went to bed last night, they got Michael Delzato from Vancouver for Luke Shen in the 2027th rounders. That was a blockbuster.
Luke Shen on the move again.
Yeah.
whatever. I can't think of a less inspiring NHL trade than Luke Shen for Michael Delzato.
I'm trying to figure out how he fits in Vancouver.
He's a body.
Blandisi goes to Pittsburgh from Anaheim for Derek Grant. I mean, none of these are big deals, but Pontus Aberg, why can't he stick with the
team? Because he's not good.
Oh.
We got blinded by two solid weeks of hockey.
He was good this year for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, it's like he has 2 week spurts where you're like, oh, okay, he's got it figured out, and then disappears. And the problem is those 2 week spurts aren't elite enough to like, there are superstar players that do that or goal scorers that do that. He's not at that level.
They also traded Andrew Cogliano, which is the best player.
Yeah, that one I was a little surprised.
And they were talking about trading Silverberg, and then he got hurt. So I don't know what's going to happen there.
If they trade Silverberg, then they're giving up.
Oh, yeah, then they're done.
I'd be interested in Silverberg.
Yeah.
If they want to move him.
Yep.
Let's get into the West now, because we're 4 hours into the show.
Well, Anaheim is the good segue.
Yeah.
Because
they are in the
they're
West.
They're in this mess.
Tough to get wester than Anaheim.
Do you like this, first of all, more than the East, where we basically have nine, maybe a tenth team in the running for eight spots with 3 months left?
Do I like it?
Where basically everybody except L.A. and Chicago
and
are still in the running.
Yes. Well, it's interesting.
It is interesting.
But in a sort of car crash kind of
way. Yeah. I'd rather have good teams than interesting, but...
But I would maintain you have some potentially great teams at the top of the West.
You do.
I think the West...
Nobody is questioning.
We're talking about the pathetic wild card race in the Western Conference.
I don't know. I think this is actually...
Which could also impact the trade deadline, which is coming
which
up.
Which is, yeah, I know. That's a great point, because this is going to kill the excitement of the trade deadline. Because nobody's going to think they're out of it. And we usually think,
Stan Bowman will never think he's out of it, even when he's been mathematically
nobody
eliminated.
Will think they're out of it. And when that happens, nobody makes any trades.
Makes any trades at the deadline anyway.
I know.
If you go back, it's like
poor
the same
James
four teams, that, like Nashville, Pittsburgh, maybe Washington will make a trade like a week ahead of the trade deadline. And yes, then James Duthie will do 8 hours of Pontus Aberg moving from Minnesota back to Anaheim.
That's good.
Yeah. Like, oh, guys, we got a Joel Rekulich trade.
I want to hear that. Never mind.
I think that this is... I got two things here real quick.
Go ahead.
Okay.
First of all,
waited with bated breath.
In my listening to the,
does it feel quick to you?
In my listening to Canadian radio, and we all predicted this. They are now pushing hard for a change to the playoff format because they don't like. We already know Toronto's going to play Boston in round one, and ironically,
they're right.
We know that this year. Yeah, of course they're right. But we all said this was finally going to get brought up outside of like this studio. Once it have impacted Toronto negatively, and it has, and they're all freaking out. But secondly, no, I think what you have in the West right now is perfect for the NHL because you've got, let's say, five really good teams. But then you still have, you're right, like seven other mediocre teams in contention for playoff spots. That's perfect. If you didn't have the good teams on top, okay, then I don't really know that this is what you want. But like Colorado is somehow now in danger of missing the playoffs in a conference where it's really difficult to miss the playoffs.
That's the thing. You could say, okay, they don't have the depth. If this were a good year, if this were the old Western Conference, this would make sense that Colorado was struggling to make the playoffs because they don't have enough depth. Yeah. But one line should be enough in this race, and it hasn't been thus far. It may be.
Edmonton's in the race.
Yeah.
That's all you have to say right there.
But so many different angles to this, right? So many things to look at in terms of the teams in the mix still. The Ducks are obviously in free fall and possibly giving up, except on their coach, by the way.
Yeah.
Who I don't know what he needs to do at this point.
And, win a game.
You know,
that'd be helpful.
I mean, and on one hand, you say, okay, look at them. They're showing patience because there's not a lot of patience in the NHL, but you've lost 12 straight games. You need some kind of shakeup. Maybe this is the shakeup, trading all these guys. Does it shake up the team enough to win? I don't think so.
I don't know that, like, Ryan Getzlaff looks around and is like, oh, no, if Joseph Blandisi is not safe, who is?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. I never really understood that anyway. I never bought into that. Oh, well, shake it up and send a message to the team. We've just traded two depth players and... Yeah. You know, one pretty good player. Look out. We're coming for you. No.
They're leading point guy on their team. This is Anaheim. Yeah. Has 32 points.
Yeah, they're it's not pathetic great. Offensive team. Yeah.
And they've had injuries, too. I mean, we talk about all the injuries the Coyotes have had. Anaheim is not at that same level, but they have
Well,
had
in terms of man games lost, I think they're number one.
They are.
In terms of impact,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Type of players, yeah. The Coyotes are, I think, top in the Western Conference.
They have to be.
But the Avs are in free fall. I still think Minnesota gets in. Minnesota, I think, is the only team at actual 500 right now that we're talking about of these eight teams.
Yeah.
It's the worst part about all this. It's just opening the door for Minnesota to get back in.
Right.
Well, and I don't have any faith in Dallas, do you?
No.
Well, they've lost three in a row.
Jim Light's blow up, right?
Yeah. Almost 2 weeks.
They're technically below 500.
Yes.
So
all these teams are other than Minnesota.
Yeah.
They're all, aren't they?
Yeah, Colorado is. And
I'll give NHL.com credit for being like as nice as possible. Anaheim hasn't won a game literally in a month now, and they have them listed with a one-game losing streak because the game before that they lost in overtime.
I know. I hate the way they do that.
Anaheim, literally the last team they beat, of course, was Pittsburgh.
Watch out for the St. Louis Blues. They could climb right back into this thing. They could make the playoffs.
We could put 4 points back with the game in hand.
Can you imagine that?
Okay, let's run through this real quick. So
the Blues finishing in a wild card spot and then 5 years looking back and going, oh yeah, we expected that, and forgetting the path will be hilarious.
Winnipeg, Nashville, Calgary, San Jose, Vegas are all legitimate teams.
Yes.
So those five are in. Now, who are the other three teams, who do you want it to be?
Who do I, like, just for pure entertainment value?
Yeah.
Colorado for sure.
Definitely.
Yes.
Edmonton.
Yeah, I want Connor McDavid in the playoffs.
I mean, I want the Coyotes, so that would be my third.
I would want the Coyotes if they were even remotely healthy.
If they're healthy.
If they're not going to be, so it's...
Third team, Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yep. Give me the young guy top lines. Yep.
Let me ask you this, though.
I'll go to the fridge when like the third lines are on for Colorado and Edmonton and Vancouver, but when the top line's on, I'll make sure I'm in front of the TV.
How long does it take you to get something out of the fridge? Because you're going to have like 15 minutes.
Let me pause for a moment,
for Edmonton.
That's true. Does Jim Lights do interviews in the intermissions?
I think he has to.
Okay, well, then I want Dallas.
You want Dallas over Vancouver.
He should do live commentary on the game. He should replace Snoop Dogg.
No, just Jim Lights and Snoop Dogg talking King Stars.
The segment could be called Light 'Em Up.
that should have been our sign-off. It's unfortunate we still have like half the show to go, because that was
brilliant.
We'll talk
next week. That's it.
It's all downhill from there, guys.
Well, it's been downhill for a while. Let's just be honest. None of us wants Minnesota in there, huh?
No.
No, please. Please don't make me watch.
Sorry, Minnesota. No, I don't want to watch you. I don't want to watch Anaheim. I don't want to watch. No.
These teams at the top of the Pacific now.
Yes.
You know, I know at the start of the year, my thought was San Jose is going to be in the Western Conference Final because the Pacific's pretty wide open. And I know Jamie just didn't think the Pacific was very good. A lot of people didn't think it was going to be very good. I'm pretty sold on those top three teams now as being like legitimate cup contenders. I still don't think Vegas will get back there. But it wouldn't shock me if Calgary or San Jose got there.
No, and I think winning the division is obviously, is huge. But like
in
particularly
both divisions in the West.
Particularly this year. Just because wild card teams are going to be a massive step down from, well, you know, maybe not so much in the Central. Maybe not in the Central. I don't care if I play Dallas.
It is Dallas right now.
Yeah, or Dallas or Colorado or Minnesota.
Still be worried about playing Colorado, but just because of that. Firepower,
but for the Pacific and
right now, I would much play them.
Yeah, like I don't want to play Vegas or San Jose or Calgary, but I don't want to play each other.
I want to see Calgary Vegas in the first round. That's what I want to see. Because I still think of Vegas as a defensive team, and Calgary can score 8 goals a night.
I'd like to see like San Jose, Vegas, and then Calgary, Edmonton, round one. That would be fun.
What if just all four of them played at the same time on the same ice?
On the same ice?
Yeah,
that'd be very confusing.
I really want to see Calgary-Edmonton.
Yeah,
Calgary-Edmonton would be fun.
Especially if Edmonton somehow upset them. You just get that old-school Alberta rivalry back. The Oilers might make the playoffs
with
two players.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the type of season where Connor McDavid can drag the Oilers into the playoffs, even though they're just a highly flawed team.
If that team makes the playoffs, does Chiarelli get GM of the Year consideration? I'm only like half joking with
probably.
That.
Probably.
They are, have you seen this, that they're panicking and looking for a scoring winger?
Mm. I did see that, and I almost died laughing.
Do they need six?
They could at least use Taylor Hall.
Hey, Milan Lucic has 2 goals this month.
Seriously?
Yeah, he scored again the other night.
Wow, he's
on fire. I think he's up to 3 goals this year.
Maybe we questioned Chiarelli a little too early. Maybe he saw something in Lucic that none of the rest of us saw. Potential. Jesse Puljujärvi might be available for the right
or not
return.
It's not happening with him.
It really doesn't seem like it is.
It's not. If you can't earn playing time with those wings.
According to alternate TSN. He's available.
He's a Flyer now, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's right. Wayne Simmons going the other way.
Ooh. By the way, Wayne Simmons would be excellent in Edmonton, but that's not obviously didn't happen. But hypothetically speaking, Wayne Simmons would be good a lot of places.
Wayne Simmons is good.
Yes.
Philadelphia is still awful.
Yes.
Wow, they are really awful.
They're terrible.
They've gotten worse since the last time I checked in on Philadelphia.
It's bad.
That should be a segment
They're
on the
1 point better than Ottawa.
St. Louis getting in would be... Like, okay, any of these teams that have been terrible that could sneak in the West, so that would be like St. Louis. I mean, are we really officially ruling Chicago out? I guess they're still 4 points back, okay.
And they've got more games,
haven't
they?
4 points back
from
St. Louis.
Yeah, they're...
And they've played more than everybody else.
I want to go back to the Coyotes for a second, because we've heard a lot this season of, oh yeah, this guy's out long-term, probably for the year, but not quite out for the year. It's remarkable to me that they're still 4 points out of a playoff spot with the injuries, and since the last show, they lost Brad Richardson,
remarkable.
Too. Remarkable. That would be my best choice of words. If they were to somehow sneak in to that wild card spot, any chance any of those guys would be back? I mean, Richardson certainly would be, and maybe Grabner. But like,
which players? Grabner, are you talking about the Dvorak, Sharontas?
Yeah, Demers.
Maybe Demers late in the season.
Okay.
And Dvorak, yeah. Maybe Dvorak.
No shot with Raanta?
I don't think Raanta's coming back.
Okay. Because that would be an interesting team if
and
they...
And we know Schmaltz isn't coming back.
Yeah.
And that really hurts.
It does. And this is going to... It's such a conflict for Coyotes fans, I'm sure, because it's like, this is great. They're hanging around. They're showing some resiliency that they did not have last year. But you cannot help but wonder, what if you're going to finish 4 points out of a playoff spot or two or something, you know? I mean, at this point, you have to find a way to get in so everybody doesn't lose their mind. But if you somehow got some of those guys back and Raanta with like 2 weeks left in the season and snuck in, it'd be interesting, depending who you played in the first round.
By the way, this is apropos of nothing, but I'm on the Blues website right now looking at just the players. And there's an ad on the side. They have something called Love Your Melon Night on February 26th.
Oh, that just sounds all wrong.
Not even joking.
And this is why they're not going to make the playoffs. Mm.
So, fans, you can go to stlouisblues.com to get tickets for Love Your Melon Night.
Are they a sponsor of the show?
They can be.
Fruit rights activists are going to be up in arms about this.
All right, before we get to listener questions.
Yes.
Tampa Bay is on pace for 129 points this season.
That's good, right?
That's less than Nikita Kucherov.
The NHL record is 132, I believe.
You're looking from me at me like I'm going to reassure you.
Just
and I will assure you I will not.
Most points in the salary cap era is 124 by Detroit.
Okay.
Yes, Montreal has the record in 80 games played, by the way, in 76-77. They had 132.
Okay. And the 95-96 Red Wings had 131.
Correct.
So.
In 82 games.
That's in play.
It is in play.
It is.
And Tampa's that good. Imagine if Tampa doesn't win this year.
Like the whole thing?
Yeah. The whole enchilada.
If they come out of this run without another cup, I know they had one from
But none
back,
of those guys like, are on the team anymore.
No. This iteration of the Lightning, if they don't get a cup, what a massive missed opportunity it would have been. Because they've been clearly either the best or second best team in the league this would be, what, 4 years now?
Yeah. This would be worse than San Jose never winning a cup, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it
would be, but
like
it would
this.
Be comparable.
There were questions about San Jose, whether they were actually the best team in the league. Tampa Bay is clearly the best team in the league.
And I know there's that sort of stigma, too, where it's like, well, if you have the best record, if you win the President's Trophy, you're probably going to flame out in the playoffs, or maybe you're not built for the playoffs. They're built for the playoffs.
Yeah.
President's Trophy. That whole fallacy drives me crazy.
Nice. We finally...
Just look at the history. It's incorrect.
That's it? I thought you were going to rage.
Simple data. No, just looking at simple data. You are incorrect in believing the President's Trophy curse is real.
We'll still take Tampa to win the cup.
Yes.
I like Tampa to win the cup still.
And I would assume last year's experience, maybe they'll learn from not showing up to Game 7.
And Game 6.
Yeah. If a series goes 7 games, you do have to show up.
I don't know. I'm still baffled by that performance against Washington.
That's the only reason I don't totally trust
them.
For
5 games, they were so good.
There's never a slam dunk in the NHL, which I think is one of the... I mean, aside from the fact that I just love the sport of hockey.
Well, because that's basketball.
Yes. Thank you, Jamie. There's never a sure thing in hockey to win. That's also basketball and college football sometimes, but not this year.
And the NFL, as it turns. One versus two, one versus two.
Yeah. Oh, and shockingly, the Patriots are there again.
Look at that.
Do I want to go down the path of, did you guys hear Tom Brady?
No.
I've already gone on the path on Twitter. Okay, I don't know if we need to talk
about it. Absurdity.
It's... I won't use the word I used on Twitter.
I'll just simply say, if you're the greatest quarterback of all time, you don't consider yourself a severe underdog when you're making your eighth consecutive AFC championship.
And who even buys into that nonsense?
Apparently him.
Like Julian Edelman.
Oh, we'll convince the other team that they're clear favorites in this
game. It's adorable.
Wait, who are they playing?
Kansas City?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've won a lot.
Kansas City's got a great history of performing in big games in the playoffs.
Especially at home.
But they weren't... No, but they were talking about being the underdogs against the Chargers, who literally never win anything in the playoffs.
Who also were... they were not underdogs. They were very much favorites.
Right, talk about a great path to the Super Bowl again, right?
Well, just come out of that high school division with the Jets and the Dolphins
and the
Bills.
Although I think they lose Sunday.
Do you really?
You think the Chiefs win?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You heard it right here.
Tom Brady has lost his last three road AFC championship games. And nine of the 10 teams he's lost to in the postseason, he has played a second time that year.
Wow. Well, that's why they're the great American underdog story. One day, I think the Patriots will finally get over.
They'll probably
get their due at some point.
I hope so. They've been chugging along for a while now. All right, let's get to listener questions. And before we do that, let's thank Kyle, as we're going to do every show now.
You won't do this with me.
No.
Will you do it?
I will.
See, at least
I've
two of us
too
will.
Many of those. Okay.
This is how we're going to thank Kyle. We have what we call donut...
Well, what normal human beings call them, yes.
So this shouldn't impact you at all then, because
Kyle bought
air.
The donut holes. He'll be buying more donut holes with his generous gift to us. He also bought the coffee today. So as I put this in my mouth and Jamie puts his in his mouth, we say...
I call him white.
Thank you, Kyle.
I don't know what the first thing Jamie
much,
said
Kyle.
Was. We also, whenever we make these shirts, we're sending Kyle one.
Yes.
We agree.
Free, yes. Yes.
Free shirt for Kyle.
All kind of free swag.
Our meat hole shirts.
Yeah, maybe we won't give him the meat hole shirt. Kyle, you can have the... First of all, Jamie, it's spaghetti and meat holes. You're not just going to walk around wearing a meat hole shirt.
Kyle, which would you rather have, a t-shirt that says spaghetti and meat holes or sewer fights?
Sewer fights.
That should be our poll question.
No. I want somebody to still listen to this show outside of a sewer.
So when you text me on Wednesday morning saying, hey, do we have a poll question? I'm going to respond, yes, we do.
Well, at least you'll finally respond this time. All right, let's go to the listener questions. This is, I go by H now. I'm going to start with Craig's favorite question. The John Scott All-Star controversy is featured on Radiolab this week. Wonder what the Natty Hattie crew make of that. Now, if you, we were
John
doing, we were doing the show that year.
We were.
And we had so much John Scott fatigue. That was the first year we did this show, right?
I believe so.
This is our third season.
Yeah.
Third season? Third season?
Might be our fourth.
It might be our fourth season. Yeah, mathematically it would have to be.
I don't know.
This
what's
episode 182.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't measure my life in how much time it's been since John Scott left.
Yeah, it has to be our fourth season.
This is our 182nd
We're
episode,
old.
And it's Craig's 181st episode because he missed the first episode.
No, he missed the first two.
I missed the first two. I was a special guest for a while sitting in that red and black leather chair, which I
liked. Far away from the mic. Yeah.
On the other side of the room.
Yeah.
Back when the Blackhawks were good, it made sense.
Yeah.
Give me my throne.
So it must have been like 15 years ago. Not.
Yeah, because I was like the old office.
Wow.
Yeah.
Again, with the hurtful stuff.
Yeah, sorry about that. What do you think of John Scott?
I don't think of John Scott. I don't think much about him at all. I didn't think about him the moment he left.
I will bring
and
this
then,
up.
Then national media forced me to think about him.
Yeah.
And what a great manufactured story he was.
I think you should address him by his full name, NHL All-Star MVP John Scott, if we're going to do this. Weren't they supposed to make a movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We talked
How's that coming
yeah,
along?
Yeah, we talked about that.
It's in post-production, right? Yeah, that's it.
We should cast that movie.
As we predicted at the time,
yes.
By the time they get around to making this movie, no one will care about John Scott anymore, and that's what happened.
That should give you some insight on how Craig felt about the story when it was going on. Coyote Steve writes in, is Jordan Wheel the type of player who budget-conscious Chaika would have been targeting in offseason? Is there potential for an extension? It's early, I know. I don't know why I read that like a computer.
Yeah, I don't understand why you read it like that.
I don't think so, unless he's cheap. They have a lot of centers.
Yeah.
And
none of them are playing right now.
True.
Yeah.
So maybe they feel, after this season, maybe they'll feel like they need to have nine centers on the roster. I don't know. But it would seem like there's too much of a logjam to bother making that sort of move. They have greater needs. And don't forget, Barrett Hayton is not far off. Maybe not next year, but I would think certainly the following year. So,
yeah, Wheel's just a guy.
He's just a guy. Barrett Hayton, since you brought him up, I don't think when they drafted him, many people expected that he would be a legitimate contender to make the team in 2019-20. I know you said maybe he's still a year away, but I think he's on the radar for next year.
As former director of scouting, Tim Bernhardt said at the time, he plays such a complete game. He's got all those other details already shored up that he could step into the lineup in a lower role, right? He could be in a bottom six position and be just fine. He's so responsible defensively, has all those other details of the game already somewhat refined, not necessarily at the NHL level, that they feel like he could possibly step in. But we'll see how that plays out. My money is still on one more year of development, and I think we'll see him the following season. But the great thing about him is the questions about him were, can he produce at an elite offensive level? And he is fifth in the OHL in points per game. So, yes, he can.
Yeah, and
at that level,
and then that's an awesome sign, because that was really the only question mark was how high is his ceiling on offense?
Yeah, Corey Pronman of The Athletic put out that list of was the 2018-19 midseason NHL prospects.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Jack Hughes isn't on there, obviously, because he's not in the NHL or drafted by a team. But he had Barrett Hayton fifth overall now, which.
Not bad.
It's a pretty good jump.
Because that's really like the only guy in the system at this point.
Yeah, he was the only Coyote on the list. But he's really the only one they need at this moment. I think on defense you can go out and add guys through free agency or whatever for the roles that they would need them in.
Yeah, I mean, P.O. Joseph's not going to... That's not their need at the moment.
Mm-mm.
Nor is he ready to play at the moment.
They see him as a... To me, he's a second-pair defenseman. That's probably his ceiling. And they'll hope that he can be that. I mean, he's kind of a guy who replaces Alex Goligoski, in my mind.
But they've got their NHL roster set.
You've got Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Jacob Chychrun on the left side. So.
Yeah.
You think the Coyotes do anything at the deadline, since they're in this weird spot where they can't buy, certainly, but they're not really sellers?
I don't... maybe
like,
minor
move?
Tweaks. I mean, there is a lot of fluidity in the market at that point, but I asked John Chyka about this recently, and this is no surprise to anybody who's been following the team. He said, I've never liked the trade deadline. It just doesn't make sense from an economic standpoint to me.
Yeah.
Teams end up just giving away too much for, it's a wing and a prayer. And often it does not work out. Just ask Stan Bowman.
Can we get Stan Bowman
on the
show?
Can I self-bell?
Ooh, a self-bell.
Okay.
Nice. All right. Coach East Jack writes in, also with Jordan Wheel, they're not going to need him because they're going to have Austin Matthews a year from now. So what's 10?
Well, we just talked about that, so,
Don't start
the flames
there.
He must have sensed that we were going to talk about that.
Have any of you ever been duped by a fake news break like the guy from Philadelphia? I don't want
to
say
not to the
no.
point where I reported it. I've seen fake tweets and like sent it to a friend or whatever. Said, "Oh my god!" But
yeah.
I don't. Not to the point where I actually reported it.
I'm so paranoid about that it hasn't happened yet. But now that I've said that, I'm sure I'm going to like
retweet fake Bob McKenzie, one of the 700 Bob McKenzie accounts.
Hockey Insider.
What do you think the psychology is behind somebody that does that?
It's just trolling.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen like the Sports Talk Joey account?
Psychology or what I would call them.
How about let's go with what you would call them?
Loser.
Oh, okay.
Get a life.
Let's see. Chris writes in, there are more than a handful of Coyotes who will be RFAs at season end, Kraus, Schmaltz, and Hill among them. Can you discuss the mechanics of keeping the ones they want and what kinds of deals the big guys will likely get?
Well, that's a big question here, so let me open up Cap Friendly. Shout out to Cap Friendly.
Proud sponsor of the show, even though they don't realize it.
Well.
They basically are.
We're just draining funds from their account, and they don't know it's us.
So, Lawson Kraus will be qualified. Connor Garland will obviously be qualified. Ilya Lyubushkin will be qualified. There are some other interesting names on here, though, in terms of RFAs. Nick Cousins, I think, has had some value to them, so I think they will probably do that. But as far as Josh Archibald and Laurent Dauphin, not so sure about those guys at this point.
What do you think about Panik, who just got his 10th goal last night?
I still think and Nick Schmaltz, of course, will be qualified.
Yeah.
Richard Panik, to me, I wrote a story in November. Everyone at The Athletic that covered team actually did this on the most likely to be traded players from your team. And I had three players on the list. They were Dylan Strome, Brendan Perlini, and Richard Panik. Two of those guys are obviously gone already. He's the third. And I do still think if they get any kind of reasonable offer, they trade him at the deadline, and I don't think they re-sign him in the offseason.
He's been playing better lately.
He has, but then he took that penalty last night.
Ups his value slightly.
And Panik.
He does have the best nickname. What is Chicago going to give the Coyotes for Panik at this point?
You mean as they make their playoff push?
Brandon yes. Saad.
Okay, yeah. Hey, I'll take Saad. I'll take a shot at him. This is worth pointing out with the Coyotes. Like
with the option to take Artemi Panarin once they get him back.
I'll definitely take that.
Because I'll have to unload him then because they can't afford him.
Panarin's going to be a Ranger or a Blackhawk. We agree.
I don't know.
If you look at the if you go to Cap Friendly, you see some of these teams that are just tied down with contracts forever and ever and ever. If you look at the Coyotes, they have no forwards signed past next season except Derek Stepan. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
And I think some of that was by design, but that's really extreme.
Well, part of it is you don't have a lot of players that have shown that they are worth signing to that type of a deal too. But it gives you plenty of flexibility.
We talk so much about how this season is frustrating in the sense that they probably would at least be in a playoff spot if they were relatively healthy. How much does it hurt their evaluation of maybe signing some of these guys? Because like Schmaltz isn't a good example because they're going to re-sign him, but like he hasn't played. He's played 17 games as a Coyote.
It definitely hurts your evaluation, but I think they knew what they were getting already. And I think he played well enough and showed them the things that they wanted that they know they're going to re-sign him. There's no question they're going to qualify him anyway.
Yeah.
But he gives them speed through the middle. It's something that Rick Tocchet wanted desperately from the center position they didn't have.
I should say, too, Christian Dvorak is signed for a while. He's just...
And Michael Grabner.
Yeah, they did sign Dvorak.
I wasn't looking at the list of injured players.
The giant IR spot at the very bottom.
It's seriously bigger than their defensive spot on this roster. So I should say of healthy players, none of them are signed forwards past next year.
And Marian Hossa.
Maybe he'll come back.
All right. I believe that's it, gentlemen, unless you have anything else you want to jump in here with as we wrap up the show.
I think I'm good.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
All right. This is actually a relatively short show for us. For Jamie Eisner.
That is his name, yes.
Possible. I deleted the whole show.
You're very much pausing now.
It just seems like it's really short. Hopefully I didn't delete the first 45 minutes. For Jamie Eisner and Craig Morgan, I'm Luke Lipinski. Thanks for listening to the Natural Hat Trick Podcast.
Remember when the Rangers were good?